Welcome to the Brown Thomas Podcast. On our podcast today, I speak to one of the world's most legendary hairstylists, Sam McKnight. For almost five decades, Sam has tended to the tresses of stars like Madonna, Lady Gaga, and Kate Moss. He has styled the covers of the world's biggest fashion publications. And in 2017, he launched his own hair care brand, Hair by Sam McKnight. In our conversation today, Sam discusses the power of hair, his friendship and his work with Princess Diana, and the products you need to achieve the glossy locks of a supermodel clients. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brown Thomas Podcast. Sam McKnight, welcome to the Brown Thomas Podcast. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're delighted to have you in Brown Thomas. And I was asking you pre-record, when was the last time you were in Brown Thomas or in Dublin?
Well, the last time I was in Brown Thomas was I accompanied Linda Evangelista when she did a MAC launch there. I think one of their lipsticks they used to do for their AIDS charity.
Viva Glam.
If I remember correct. Viva Glam, that's the one. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, look, that's not a normal trip to Brown Thomas, but you'll have to come and see us again. We're delighted to have your products in store.
Absolutely thrilled. It's about time, though, isn't it, really? Because people have been asking forever.
Come here, tell me, Sam, you have, your career is outstanding, and you have worked with, you know, the biggest names in the beauty industry, Vogue covers in their hundreds. Let's talk about your approach to hair. And you've spoken about hair having the power to be transformative, and it really playing a very big role, probably an underestimated role in our lives. Tell me about your thoughts on that, or elaborate on that a little bit.
I think maybe it used to be underestimated, but I think less so now, because I think we're living in a very different times now, thanks to the internet. Because I mean, what, 20 years ago, people would quite often stick with the same hairstyle they had in their 20s and never change it. But I think that has changed because of the internet, because of the huge advances in technology, because hair products, hair appliances, everything are so much better than they ever were before and much easier to use. And I also think there's a shift in not just women, in women and men's expectancy for what they're going to get out of their hair. You know, they use their hair much more, and they change their hair all the time, weekly or daily sometimes, because I think there is so much knowledge imparted to them and easily, freely available on the internet, and so much inspiration with celebrities and people in the public eye, you know, changing their hair all the time. So it's a different landscape from 20 years ago. And I think people now, they do use their hair a lot more. You know, we all use our hair as maybe I don't, but we use it as a disguise or a shield or a way of conveying a message, as something to hide behind. Everyone uses it in different ways.
So Sam, you mentioned, you know, Linda Evangelista, and you've worked with huge names across your career, the hundreds of Vogue covers you've styled, but you've also done many album covers, like for Lady Gaga and Madonna, and their hair is often the focal point we use to define their era. It's what we refer to when we're talking about a point in their career. So tell me about what it's like to work with artists on those moments, like Lady Gaga.
It's very interesting how pop culture uses hair to sort of define a character. I mean, the hair can make or break a character, right? And when I say pop culture, it's not just music. It's someone like Karl Lagerfeld, someone who's instantly recognizable by the silhouette of the hair, you know? And I think Marilyn Monroe, Elvis Presley, Karl Lagerfeld, you know, Boris Johnson, just the Queen, you know, people who are understand the power of hair, and that hair can become such an important tool. And I think when I worked with Lady Gaga, I did a couple of years with her quite early on her second album, I think it was, or around then. And I noticed that when she started to use hair very differently to how people had used hair before. She was obviously wearing wigs, and before her, people would wear a wig but kind of disguise, try to disguise or never disclose that they were wearing a wig, but she wore wigs like a hat. Mm-hmm. You know, she would change them 6 times a day, and she really got the very much got that message across with the different hairstyles. That it became part of her persona, if you like, you know. And I just found that really interesting. And she was great to work with, because we'd go from doing a sort of short Elvis black hair look one day to sort of big pink hair the next day. And I thought she had a very interesting take on beauty. And I think when she came along, she really upped the game for all the pop songstresses who came along afterwards. They all had to really up their game, because she had set the bar so high, and it was all about the hair.
Yeah. So it's just another facet, you know, like music and obviously the craft of your profession being one, but then the styling clothing wise was probably the big challenge. But to bring hair into it and realize that you could change so much by... Yeah. Like as Lady Gaga did, changing her wigs. Here, tell me then, when you say other people like Boris Johnson have, you know, used the power of their hair, what was he trying to convey with that?
Do you know what? It was very clever, because he was obviously trying to convey this bumbling clown, which I'm sure underneath there is a much steelier, more who knows what's underneath. The messy hairstyle was, I found, really quite deliberate. It was a deliberate ploy to distract us. It was really clever, because I always kind of equate it. I do the opposite. It was the opposite to the Queen, because the Queen had the same hair for, 60 years, and she conveyed that message of steady, solid, reliability, all that. And Boris's was just a absolute cacophony to distract us from what was really going on, you know? So, and I think both of them worked. And I've huge sort of, hugely fascinated by the way people use their hair. Mm-hmm.
So he might not have been one of your clients, but you have had, you know, amazing clients, and you've worked with so many people. You mentioned Lady Gaga and Linda Evangelista. And could you, okay, past, present, and future, who have your dream clients been and are, and you would like to work with perhaps?
Oh, God, I've been so lucky to work with the most amazing people, so many of them, all of the supermodels who I was around when they were 15 and 16 and just coming on go-sees to the studio to, you know. And I met Kate really early on in her career, Kate Moss. And I was just in New York with Kate doing her hair for the Met. And we go back 30 odd years, and that's lovely to still have those relationships. And a couple of weeks ago, I did a shoot with Christy Turlington, who I hadn't seen for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And it was so nice, because we just slipped into where we left off. Because I said, oh, God, it must be 10 years since I saw her. She said, 22.
22 years.
22. And, you know, as we say, Lady Gaga, so many, I mean, I forget, there's just so many people. But recently I've been working a lot with the wonderful Jodie Comer, the actress, who is so gorgeous and so divine. And, you know, I look forward to my next victims.
Yeah. Oh, God, look at them. When you were dealing with the supermodels at their younger years, I'm sure, you know, you were a source of advice and comfort, probably, because there is a kind of an intimacy that comes with that relationship of sitting down, and you've got an hour, if you're that lucky to have that time to work on them. You know, that friendship can develop very easily. There's a nice relationship that evolves, is there?
Oh, there is. There definitely is. I mean, and you know, I'm sort of at least 10 years older than them, but I was really young then too. So and also the business as how you see it now did not exist back then. It wasn't really a public facing thing. It was much more fashion shows were, there may be 100 people at a fashion show, and they were mostly journalists or photographers. They weren't, and they would have been press. They wouldn't have been bloggers or anything. I mean, that kind of thing didn't exist, you know, and they weren't allowed to take pictures. So it was, it was much more of a, there were much more trade shows, and those girls came along and that changed, you know. Yeah. Suddenly they weren't supermodels, of course, when they were 15, 16. They were just out of school, coming on a photo shoot with and being kind of vogued up by our team. And so, yes, you do look up, you do kind of adopt that sort of almost parenting or guardian sort of aspect of it, because they're kids, you know, and there's definitely that. But I feel much more of that now than I did then, much more, because the ages are much, much further apart now. I'm like granddad now.
Stop. But I mean, you know, it has changed so much, right? You know, there's pros and cons to that.
There's a lot of pros. Yeah. I mean, it's much more democratized. It's much more diverse. It's much more, it's much less elitist. But the cons for me is that it's so big, it's almost much less personal than it used to be, you know, because back in the day there were probably 10, 15 models you worked with all the time. Now there's hundreds, thousands, and it's a sort of global phenomenon. And one of the sad things I feel, although it's had many benefits, is social media. I love on Instagram, and that's why I felt like I hadn't seen Christy that long ago, is because we're on social media, so we have contact with each other. Before, you wouldn't have had that. But there is that little bit of sad thing of we've kind of let the general public glimpse behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And there's no going back. The genie's out of the bottle. But that has huge benefits because it lets everyone in on the act. And you know, before, I've been doing this a long time, and before, if we did a fashion show or a shoot, nobody really knew that we did it unless you looked at a tiny sort of little credit in a magazine. Now we have, now everyone has a voice, and you know, that has its pros and cons too. I mean, it's a huge responsibility how you use that voice. So there is a burden on young models, because young models don't set out to be role models, you know, but I think now with social media, they have to tread much more carefully.
I always think that is a very heavy weight, because it, you know, is. They want to do what they want to do. And
we didn't have that, because we could go out clubbing and do whatever we like, and no one had cameras. No one was going to, yeah. It wasn't going to be gossip the next day or whatever. Not that we were, you know, up to no good, but you know, you're young. And now it feels a little less free in a way. But in one way, much more free, and another way, yeah, much more restricted, you know? It's a lot of pressure for a kid, I think.
It sure is. So if you were doing it now or then, I would have to assume then was an easier, happier time. That can't
seem. Oh, I don't know. I don't like to say we had the best time, because we did have the best time. It was great. But the kids now will have the best time too. But it's just different, you know. I remember once on a trip in LA, we met this guy on the cliffs. We're out on the beach, Malibu, to having a walk along the cliffs. We had a day off or something. We met this guy, and we sat and chatting to him. And he said, you know, I've been all over the world. I've done this. He was really old, this guy. Probably the same age as I am now, the same age at the time. And he said, oh, you know, I've been all over the world. I traveled and I did this and I did. And you know what? And this is before I started traveling too much. And he said, you know what? And I was like, what? He said, it's all the same, but different. That has stayed with me all these years, because it kind of is. It's all the same, but different. So it'll be the same, but different, you know. And everyone has their own. You know, when you're young, you kind of, things are imprinted on your mind, you're making memories, but I certainly, I think the message in there is make the absolute most of the time you have, because it's all you've got.
Yeah. And you know what? I saw something, somebody said to me recently, in 20 years' time, you will wish you were in this point, feeling this well with these people. So just live it up and enjoy it.
Absolutely. Even now, even, you know, just make it, because it is so precious, isn't it? It's so precious.
Yeah.
That you really have to just take every opportunity to say yes, you know.
When did you know? Was there a moment, you know, as a young guy that you knew, I want to work in the hair industry? Or was there an earlier hair memory for you that, you know, sparked something?
No, I'm from a very small rural mining community in the southwest of Scotland. And it was mid-70s. I did really well at school. One of the first in my family to get A-levels and high, as they're called in Scotland, and all that stuff. And so your family are really proud of you. Off I went to college, not knowing what I was going to do. And I was kind of being guided into being a teacher. And I suddenly one day decided, oh, well, I don't want to do this. I don't like it. I don't like studying. I've had enough. Because I was really good at school.
Yeah.
When I didn't have to study, I could just do it. But when I had to study, I was terrible. So I thought, I don't want to do this. I want to do something else. And, you know, I was a window cleaner for ages because we didn't have any money. So to make money as a teenager during at the weekends, evenings, I had to, you know, carry my wooden ladder and bucket around our council estate cleaning windows.
Yeah.
Hence the amazing work ethic. And then I worked in a sock factory, a jeans factory, all kinds of things. And my friends owned a few businesses. There was a hairdressing salon, a couple of hairdressing salons, a disco, a restaurant. And I tried my hand in all of them. And I kind of thought, I could give this hairdressing thing a go. It happened really quickly. And I really liked it. And I thought, I'd like being creative like this. I wasn't really encouraged to be creative at school. But I think when I was a teenager, David Bowie appeared on the scene. So we were all kind of transfixed. So, and that became all about the hair. Anyway, and I became aware of Vogue magazine from the school library and was kind of transfixed by all the sort of Norman Parkinson and David Bailey pictures and far-flung locations. I never imagined that there'd be a hairdresser on that shoot. I just thought people showed up like that, you know. It very quickly got hold of me.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Thank God it did.
Thank God. Well, I got hold of it, maybe the other way around, yeah.
Imagine you could be cleaning your windows and not stocked in the glamorous shops across the globe.
Oh, I still clean a mean window. I can, you know, yeah.
You have a technique. It's about the...
I think newspaper and vinegar in the water. None of those greasy products from under the sink.
I'm going to talk to you about other products. That was what I had in mind. But I do want to talk to you about your time working with Princess Diana. And we, you know, I mean, her hair was so iconic. You had a special relationship. Can you tell me a little bit about that time, if you don't mind?
Yeah, no. I met Princess Diana in 1990. We were doing a shoot with a few young royals for British Vogue portraits. We didn't know who was going to be there. Mm. And, you know, at the end of the day, this tall, leggy blonde comes bouncing up the stairs and kind of, you know, just absolutely captures us all immediately and was so lovely and so nice and so sort of easy and funny. So we did some great portraits. And one of the classic ones where she's on the floor in a sort of strapless white dress with a tiara. And I had made her hair look short for that because her hair was really big. And I had made it look short because they were looking for a new, you know, it was 1990, she was changing. And I think she was 30 in 1990, if I remember correctly. Yeah, so, you know, it happens. So at the end of the shoot, she said, what would you do with my hair if I just said, do what you like? And I said, I would cut it all off and we're going to make it short, slick, start again. And because it was the time, it was moving from the big frou-frou 80s, big shoulder pads and frills and, you know, and big puffy hair into, you know, dynasties on the way out and that super slick Versace supermodel, you know, pastel sharp suit were coming in. And so she let me do it. And Yeah, and the rest is history, really. I kind of spent 7 years traveling with her after that.
That's incredible. And, you know, we talk about the weight of the industry now, but there was a particular weight on your shoulders too, because, you know, any slight change to her style made front page news.
Yeah, we were very careful. We used to do things gradual. I mean, there was the abrupt change at the beginning. Yeah. And but I see, the thing is, I wasn't really aware of all that, because I was spending most of my time in America then, so I wasn't really kind of up to scratch with the royal family or any. Of course, I knew who she was and all that. I didn't really know the power of it. But I'd quick baptism there. And so we would do things slowly, like you grow the perm out, you change the highlights slowly. So over the course of a few years, it morphed into, and I think by a couple of years later, we had kind of found a sort of new, softer, more streamlined, more business, really, you know?
Yeah, and it was important for her, I guess, because she was more business, wasn't she? You know,
Yeah. Well, it was the power 80s, and she became this. She found herself, I guess. It was really funny because recently there was a documentary that someone sent me a clip from that I had never seen or heard before, and it was her voice coach had recorded some sessions with her, and in one of them she said, he asks her about when she, I can't remember the actual words, when she sort of felt liberated or found her way forward, and she actually said it was when Sam cut my hair.
Wow! You
know, when Sam cut my hair, everything changed.
Yeah,
and I mean that was incredibly emotional for me because I didn't know that because we didn't talk like that. You know, it was just normal everyday chit chat, watching Brookside on a Saturday afternoon if I was doing it. So. To hear her say that, not as flattery for me or anything, but to someone that you probably never would imagine anyone would hear it. Yeah, that was incredibly powerful.
Yeah, and that comes back to, you know, the first thing we spoke about, the power of hair and like how it can make you feel and how it can change the way you feel.
Well, I often say too that not only is it about the way it looks, it's about the way it makes you feel. That's probably more important.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're making people feel ever so good now with your amazing line that we have in Brand Thomas. So tell me about your brand. And if somebody could pick just three products, what would you recommend them to go for?
Our brand is, it comes from years of me testing, trying, being a spokesperson for helping big brands formulate things and advising. And, you know, about 10 years ago, we decided, okay, time to distill this into my own brand, all my knowledge, instead of giving it away. And I really felt that it was time for products that were much easier to use. Because I was finding a lot of products I was using had started to become quite heavy and quite sort of overloaded. And that's not a good thing to do to most people's hair, you know, it weighs it down. So we decided to make a brand of easy to use, lightweight formulations. Fragrance is incredible. It's a beautiful, fine fragrance because there's nothing worse than a hair product that you don't like the smell of. Even if it works, you're not going to use it.
No.
Products that were not only easy for me to use, but easy for people to do their own hair with. So they're mostly products that you can layer and brush out. You're not going to make mistakes. They're foolproof. So if you put a little too much, it will brush out. No. You know, you put a little, then use a little more, but they're products that actually work. They do what it says on the tin.
Mm-hmm. And if, you know, so if there are, you know, some hero products in your line, what would they be?
Well, I have, the one I use most of all is called Modern Hairspray. It's a dry, now hairspray has connotations of the 80s and crispy dry hair. No, yes. It's not like that. It's soft.
It out in the 80s. You were stuck.
No, it's dry, that's not wet. I can set hair with it on Velcro rollers. I use it when I'm straightening on or tongs because it has a heat protection in it. It's a multitasker. I can slick hair down with it. I can get volume with it. We can backcomb with it. It does everything, and I love that.
Okay.
And one of our other heroes is our Cool Girl spray, which I call a texture mist. It's a dry texture mist, which will give your hair that kind of Kate Moss lived in mussed up bedhead texture in 20 seconds. You know, it's an upside down spray hair, muss it up. That's it. It's a great volumizer too. It's fantastic. And we have a balm, but it's a kind of hybrid product. It's a styling with benefits. Mm-hmm. So it's a nourishing styling balm, which is great for defrizzing, defluffing, defining. Mm-hmm. It works really well on fine hair as well as coarser hair. Mm-hmm. Those are probably the three that I would say are our hero product. And we have the most amazing mask. I'll give you a fourth, called Deeper Love. It's all about the hair love.
Okay. And tell me then, Deeper Love, do you think there's a time, you know, coming into the summer, is that something we need more of? Like, you know, with the sun, with the heat in Ireland sometimes, do you think that, you know, there are seasonal products for hair?
Deeper Love is all seasons, but in the summer, you should definitely use it more. Absolutely. Because you're swimming, you're in the sun, your hair gets more exposure to the sun, and that's quite damaging, you know? So you probably use it more in the summer than you do in the winter.
Okay. If somebody has 10 minutes to do their hair, I'm going to quick fire a few questions at you. Sam, I have your genius in front of me. If someone has 10 minutes to do their hair, what should they prioritize?
Oh, see, it depends what your hair's like. Everyone's different texture hair. So you have to really go for products that suit your texture. You know, you have to think of two things. You have to think of the texture and the result you want from it. So that's the two things you should be looking for in a hair product.
Okay. If, you know, the trends, I'm always kind of reluctant to talk about trends when it's something as significant as your hair. We talked about my fringe. That should not have been a trend I entered into lightly. But in terms of trends right now for hair, what are you enjoying? What would you like to see more of?
Well, I mean, trends, I have an aversion to trends as well, really. But specific trends, because as soon as something's trendy, you kind of want to avoid doing it, really, I would say. But what I do feel at the moment, there's been a long period of natural hair, embracing natural hair textures and you know, really not styling your hair too much. But we've seen a change to that in the last couple of years. And I think moving forward, we're moving into a bit more of a groomed hair era, which I think is really cool. It's really lovely. I think because there's ways of blow drying your hair or hot brushing your hair with all those amazing tools, using gentle products like mine that actually really work and work quickly. And I'm really enjoying the way hair becoming a little more lush, a little more polished, you know, like you saw at the Met the other night. There weren't too many crazy hairstyles. There was a lot of gorgeous, sort of lush, gorgeous, beautiful hair, you know, healthy, rich looking hair. Yeah.
Yeah. Like just complementing the looks, I suppose, is taking over.
Yeah.
You know, what's the worst thing you can do for your hair?
I think the worst thing you can do with your hair is ignore it.
Okay.
I think the worst thing your hair is I think you have to look after it, you know. You don't even have to do much. Just regular trims, mm-hmm. treatments. Mm-hmm. If you keep your color up, keep the condition really, really tip top if you color your hair, and make sure you love your hair, you look after it, because if you neglect it, it's not called your crowning glory for everything for nothing. It's something that kind of shows the world how healthy you are, you know.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just in terms of advice, so you have been doing this for so long, you give advice, but the most memorable advice you have received in terms of hair care, or business or anything?
Oh, the most memorable. Oh, God, so many bits of advice. That's the second time I've been asked that question today, actually.
Really?
yeah. And I can't remember what I said for the first answer. I think I worked with Karl Lagerfeld on Chanel and Fendi for many, many years. And I think one of the things, and it's not so much advice, but it's one of the things I took away from Karl was that however serious the job is or however, you know, sort of important things are, you mustn't lose a sense of humor about it. You know, you must keep that, sort of lightheartedness in there somewhere, and that will get you through. And it certainly got him through. And I guess we were kindred spirits in that respect, because that works for me every time. Finding the humor in things.
Mm-hmm. Find the humor in things. And then on your work with Karl for so long, what did you think of the Met Gala then and the theme?
Well, I mean, I wasn't actually there. I'm the workhorse, I'm afraid. So we did Kate's hair, and then actually got to the airport and got a plane home, which was full of hair and makeup people who doing people from the Met. I thought it wasn't the crazy circus that it has been in the past. I think it was much more sedate.
Mm-hmm. And elegant.
Elegant. It was elegant, wasn't it? And that's what he was, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, it has been such a joy to speak to you and to get your tips and tricks. And we're so happy to have Sam McKnight, Hair by Sam McKnight, in Brand Thomas. Thank you for taking some time with me today.
Oh, it's been lovely. Thank you. Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you too. Thanks, Mel.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Thomas podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe and share, and follow us on Official Brand Thomas on Instagram for more updates.